my former colleague in the legislature, Senator Tony Wong. Senator, good morning to you.
He's not afraid of it.
Good morning, but I have to tell you, that's not a really good wake-up reading. I know this is an op-ed that appeared in the New York Post, written by Mr. Fazio.
Yep.
And you know, here's the interesting part. The bar was very low that was set by the governorship of Daniel Malloy. So the fact that you're measuring against the highest tax increase in the history of our state, anything compared to what we went through for 8 years may seem better. And maybe that's where the victory lap came about. But I think what people
I think there is sarcasm in that line. I that's how I read it. I interpret it as a note of sarcasm.
Well, and I think the other part is this: people need to remember that a year ago we had a bipartisan budget that was approved because the Senate was tied 18-18, and the House had a margin that was not going to be overrun by the Democratic majority. And what came out of that is part of the victory lap that's taken. People have short memory when they have to remember that it was the bipartisan budget that overrode Malloy's draconian budget of tax increases and punishing our communities
and
municipalities.
Right.
We put in, finally, a mandate of a mandatory budget limit, and we putting aside money into a rainy day fund, and we created policies in which there were greater transparency. For example, there were 12 labor contracts that was finally voted on for the first time, and it showed the true colors that virtually a Democratic majority voted to increase labor cost and bound our government to future burdens, and we finally voted on it. Would you believe that prior to the bipartisan budget, which required transparency, budgets weren't even voted, contracts weren't even voted on. Remember
that? Yep, yep.
And so what we now see is the fact that as a result of bipartisanship, of equal power, we had better government. But unfortunately, the 2018 election created a majority, and as a result, it's back to business as usual. One-party rule, where decisions are made in the back rooms with one party excluding literally 49% of the other half of the state's population. That's where we're getting back to deja vu all over again, that one-party rule dictating the priorities that are inconsistent with the values of the people of the state, and it's dragging us down a ever-declining black hole.
Senator, I tell you something right now. I truly believe that we collectively can do it. We can get us where we want to go. And this is why it came off before, and it's going to come off again. So let them try it. Let them go and do what they think they're going to do. And that's how I feel. I really do. And there are a lot of people that agree with me.
Oh, absolutely, Brad. I mean, the spin that's already beginning and saying we're all about doomsday. No, I love this state, and this state has fantastic potential because of its people, because of the ingenuity of New England values and characters. Let's get back to that. But the spin is absolutely laughable in my mind because the numbers don't lie. When we're ranked in the bottom quartile of every assessment and survey that says we're taxed too much, we spend too much, we give too much away, and we continue to lose jobs and people in our state. These numbers don't lie. I don't care how you spin it. And the problem is we get into elections where people talk about, you know, emotions, they talk about rhetoric, and they talk about the spin, when they don't realize that their votes impact public policy. They increase bills that increase the minimum wage and burden people. pay medical leave, which give reasons for businesses and grocery stores that just closed of not opening up. The jobs numbers are a reflection of an entire ecosystem that is misprioritized, misplaced, and needs to make a dramatic change.
Yeah, it just seems like the more things change, the more they stay the same.
Absolutely. I mean, we just did a budget that was, in, as I said, in the Senate chambers during that debate. This budget that was passed purely along partisan Democratic majority lines was the most regressive I had ever voted on, because it hurt middle class people by increasing grocery taxes, taxing car trade-ins, every other aspect of basic utility usages. You know, the budget that was passed benefited the wealthy. It benefited the well-connected and the lobbyists, and it benefited bigger government. The working class, the middle class, the taxpayers of the state got punished.
But I thought, Tony, the Democrats were always for the working man, the blue-collar worker. Yeah.
The challenge is this. Raising the minimum wage, pay medical leave, the progressive policies that were enacted this year. Listen, they're well-intentioned policies. They are well-intentioned. But nevertheless, they don't make economic sense. When you don't have an economy that's buzzing at 100 miles an hour, growth-oriented like we have in Silicon Valley and the technology sectors, You're forcing employers to take on the burden of a declining marketplace. And as a result, business people make decisions. And when I sit on the Senate floor in regards to pay medical leave and raising the minimum wage, it will ultimately lose jobs, hurt our businesses.
It already is.
Hurt the very people that supposedly you're trying to help. They're going to lose jobs.
Yeah, you know what? It's already occurring, though, Senator. In fact, on our Facebook, if you go to Facebook and go to the Talk of Connecticut page, and really just go into the search bar and type in Talk of Connecticut, and make sure you like our page, you can scroll down. I don't even think you have to go far. It might even be the most recent post. There is a list of the businesses that either closed their doors or relocated out of state. Just from January until present day. Hasn't even been a full year yet. And let me tell you, I hate to say it, the list is long. It's crazy. I can't believe, I'm like, well, oh my goodness, when did this start? It only goes back to as far as January, beginning of the year. So what must be done, Senator? I mean, going forward, what you're sitting in the minority party. How much more can people take of this, and what specifically can people do going forward? Can you do as a legislative body to right this ship going forward?
Well, I think we have to be vocal and speak and be the voice of the people and tell them not to completely give up on this state, because without people in the state speaking up, And being active,
I think a lot of people already have
a voice, then we are completely lost. So that's first, that people need to believe, and they need to make a commitment to having their voices be heard.
But Tony, the Republican base, they're moving out of state if they already haven't already.
They're going.
But I got to tell you, it's an addition to the Republican base. It is the independents.
Yeah.
It is the working class.
Mm-hmm.
It is the hard-working taxpayers that work hard, listen to you in the morning while they're going to work, and they're putting a full day and a half of work. They make hard-earned money, and they're saying to themselves, where is all this tax money going? If they knew exactly that the priorities were right, that the values are right, and that public policies are transparent,
oh, then they wouldn't have a problem.
Then they would feel better about the tax dollars. But unfortunately, people work hard for their money, and they don't feel as though they're getting the respect and the value of their tax dollars in state government. And that's the trend. What we need to do is to say, we hear you, we value your tax dollars, and we're going to spend it, we're going to prioritize it right, we're going to take care of those that are most vulnerable at risk, we're going to fix our roads, we're going to protect you and public safety. Those are important roles of government. And you know what? We collect more than enough tax money to do all of that if we prioritize it right. We have a misprioritization. We have a government that thinks money is easy to come by. And for me, that's unacceptable.
Yeah, you're so right.
You have to respect people's hard-earned dollars. And you know what? Our budget and the way we spend, the way we prioritize, is misplaced.
You know, I couldn't agree with you more. You really nailed it. But let me ask you one question, and we've got to get going after this. We only got about a minute left. We're hearing the beginnings of rumblings of a special session regarding tolls. What have you been hearing?
Well, I think it's a repackaging. It's now going to be infrastructure improvements, and tolls will be replaced by you know, service fees or.
No, that's not what I'm hearing, though.
Well, I think it's the same wolf under sheep's clothing of taking a look at implementing tolls or what they call, you know, service charges and complementing it with a loan program from the federal government that reflects a lot. The loan program reflects a lot of the Republican program of prioritized progress, but it's supplemented by tolls on strategic areas. The other selling point is that they're going to reevaluate clogging points that could be alleviated in strategic locations, like 14, 16 locations throughout the state that are congestion clog areas. And I do believe that there are some aspects of proactive and evaluation that we can help ease traffic. But the fact is, if you're looking to implement tolls or service charges or usage charges, it's a hard conversation because it goes back to what we talked about, the budget, and we talk about how people spend their money.
All right, but let me interrupt you right there.
Government with the toll money.
Tony, I got to interrupt you really quickly because according to today's Connecticut Mirror, Keith Faniff, as you know, you and I both know, he says for Lamont, the new source of revenue is a network of tolls, albeit a much smaller one than he proposed in February, but nonetheless, it is a network of tolls. So tolls are factoring into this equation for revenue increases. And I just didn't know if you could either comment on that or what you've heard in regards to it.
The presentation made by the chief of staff, which I greatly respected and appreciated, that explained the new package that incorporated federal loans, but it will still have tolls.
How many? Are they saying
no,
how many?
There's no number.
Okay.
But for me, it's much more important to find out the mechanics of it and how much they're looking to get out of the tolls, because the prior discussions have been, whether it's 10, 50, or 100, they were looking for revenues near $1 billion.
Yeah, and 10 or 15 are not going to accomplish that.
No, but the whole repackaging, though, Gary, is going to be complemented with a federal loan program, and we need to get more details about that. But nevertheless, the supplemental of tolls is something that I don't trust.
It's not even cost effective to only build 10 or 15.
Let me tell you, okay, won't take me long. They're after tolls again because they want them, because it's easy. That's what they think. And I think that this is the time that we show them again what we did before. We remind them that we haven't forgotten. And I think if we have that kind of an attitude, we can take the hill.
Absolutely, Brad. I think tolls are a revenue grab. And it is a revenue grab that we have no control over into the future. But using the federal financing program to deal with our infrastructure is something that we could explore. But tolls of any kind is a revenue grab for future poor usage of taxpayer dollars. And we don't trust government.
Well, no. And there's no questioning as far as why. We've been lied to so many times in the past. you know, in things that are happening behind closed doors because there's lack of transparency.
Absolutely.
Yeah, this is, you know, we're just catching wind of this today. When this broke just this morning, because I'm looking at the date of this from the Connecticut Mirror and Keith's article, I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Because, I mean, as we get closer to the holiday season, I just remember from my time in the legislature, that's a terrible time to bring people in for a special session. And now, you know, it's still early October. I get that. It was certainly within the boundaries of special session. We've been called in before in October and even early November. But after, as you start getting into the holiday season, it's like, well, you know what? The next session is going to begin in February. Anyhow, what's your take on a short session in voting on something not only controversial, but even Democrats will admit that it's an election year and voting on something where most of their constituency, most of the citizens of our state do not favor any form of tolling, and going into an election year, does that play into it?
Absolutely, and
yeah,
that is why the push right now is to try to do it in special session in the holiday seasons where it doesn't get the attention that's necessary, that the wavering votes may be flipped to get this passage in the holiday seasons. Listen, they've been trying to have a toll vote this entire year. So if they recognize the reality that you just placed, the fact that if they don't get this done soon, going into the short session with a re-election year coming up, they're not going to take that issue up. So
yeah,
the only chance
that
they have to be
That's
able
right.
to implement tolls
That's right.
and a new presentation of it is they're going to do it during the holidays when people waver
mm-hmm.
and hope people don't pay attention.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is people are paying attention because tolls are going to be a permanent tax on the people of the state. And we should pursue the financing through the federal government and not burden and be able to not burden with taxes, but be able to do it the right way for long infrastructure costs.
Yeah.
But yes, the timing is not without coincidence.
I didn't think so. They wanted to fly under the radar. People travel around the holidays. They're giddy. They're at parties. And you're right. This is a tolls that they can always increase it down the road. They can start off with 50 tolls. Who's to say they can't add 30 more or even raise how much the tolling fee is going to be?